Warning, Deepfix contains adult content and language.
So if you don't touch processed foods but eat gummy bears, this may not be for you.
And now, Deepfix.
Hello, and welcome to Deep Fix, where we get a fix of all of our favorite obsessions. I'm your host, Jen B. And this season, we are breaking down the epic Real Housewives of New York City, seasons 1-3. And this episode, we are diving into season 3, episode 6, The Ambush. Now, let's get our fix. Well, we are really getting into the mix of the season 3 drama with this episode, The Ambush. It's really getting good. I love this episode. It is jam-packed with all kinds of drama and from all the ladies, different pieces. Again, it's not just all of them sitting in a room fighting. And I rewatched this episode shortly before watching this week's most recent episode of OC, Housewives, and I thought it was such a great juxtaposition of what made the Housewives great and what is making it feel really just old or inauthentic. I think Bethany said forced when she was with Jill watching the new Roni, and I think that's a good description. And it's just a good way to put what's going on, because as I've said before, I watch all of the Real Housewives cities. I watch the whole franchise, love it or hate it. And I probably always will watch OC, but there was this moment where, if you recall in the latest episode, Shannon is hosting a taco party. Some of the ladies get pissed. They don't end up coming, which although makes it realistic, it's really become kind of a weapon of the Housewives of, oh, well, we're not going to come to your party to give you a slight, to not film with you, that kind of a thing. But at the party, there's a chef there, there's a super soaker full of tequila. And at the end, Tamra grabs the super soaker and starts squirting everybody with it. And she and Shannon are really kind of over the top laughing. And it just seemed very produced to me. It didn't seem real. It seemed like Tamra knows she's got to do something to make it, you know, to whoop it up, as Vicky would say. And it just seemed inauthentic. There was just something about it where I went, totally for television. And like I said, I will probably always watch the show. I will watch all of these shows because I do love the ladies. It's part of why I think it was a big mistake with Roni to just recast the entire thing. Again, they could have made this show with other women and done a different show, but I will watch OC. I will watch Jersey. I will watch Miami. I will watch Beverly Hills, Atlanta, right? I'll watch all of them. Because I love these women. I love watching them. You feel like you know them at this point. But it really struck me as to the big difference of the feeling I get when I watch that show, which I went, totally for television, a bit annoyed maybe is the right word, versus when I was watching these episodes of Roni live back in 2008 and 9 and 10 when this was first airing. The way that I felt about the episodes and how invested I was, not only in the ladies, but in who they were and what they were selling. Like I said, I was a huge Bethany stan during these seasons of Real Housewives of New York City. And I went out and I bought Skinny Girl cocktails to support her. I bought her Skinny Girl books. I bought it all, right? I was totally invested. I was in. And I just don't have that same level of passion. Maybe that's a silly word for it, but I don't have that same level of passion for these ladies. I'll still watch the show. I'm still invested enough to turn it on. But the ratings really aren't enough in terms of just getting people's butts in the seats to watch the show. It just isn't enough to make the hit. And I wish they would realize that what we want to see are these women doing interesting things. And of course, peppered in with some drama, but we just don't want what they're showing now. And I think these women, especially with the OC, I think there would be so much more depth to the ladies if we actually followed them around in their lives and saw what they were doing, as opposed to focusing on the fake fights that they're having to create amongst themselves. And I know I sound like a broken record, but just watching the ambush episode of Roni and then going and watching the latest episode of OC, it was so evident the difference between the two that it's hard not to point out. So enough about that. Let's jump into a quick summary of the episode because it's turtle time. So The Ambush is a jam-packed episode. So much happens. I love it. It is just everything I know and love about old school Roni and old school housewives. And we get a good amount of everybody in this episode. So for Alex, she and Simon meet up with Jill and Bethany on the other side of the epic Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, and they get an overview of Bethany and Ramona's fight before they go have lunch. We also get a bit more of Brooklyn Fashion Week planning when she invites Kelly, Ramona, and Bethany to select the models for the show, where she also continues to grow her relationship with Bethany when she lends an ear for Bethany regarding her father's poor health when she really needs it the most. And then, of course, we see Jill make a visit to Alex's townhouse in an attempt to make things right with Alex, and Alex strongly advises Jill to reach out to Bethany. Now, as for Luann, she is busy planning a charity fundraiser for a shop that sells secondhand designer clothes that benefits the homeless. And we see a bit more of her and Jill at Jill's condo where she is staying the night. And they discuss the fundraiser, but of course, they have to throw in the fight with Bethany, a little bit about Kelly, and of course, some shit talking. And then we also see Luann meet with a real estate agent to discuss getting a new apartment in the city, because as you remember, she gave up her townhouse in the divorce with her husband or ex-husband, now the Count. So now she needs a new house in the city. And then, of course, we see Luann play Jill's BFF at Ramona's condo during the ambush. Now, as for Ramona, we jump right in with she and Bethany at the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, where Ramona gives Bethany a piece of her mind, but eventually does soften up after she realizes she really wasn't listening to Bethany or supporting her. She also meets up with Alex and Bethany and Kelly to select models for Brooklyn Fashion Week. She's part of that crew, where she plants the seed with Bethany to come to her condo and talk to Jill. It's the first we hear of what will become the ambush. And then we end with the epic scene where Ramona secretly invites Bethany to her condo to meet with Jill, which becomes the scene of the ambush. And then Kelly, we see a little bit of Kelly. She's on the streets attempting to interview people for an article she is writing for Gotham Magazine, which really just ends up highlighting Kelly's lack of social skills. It's a little bit uncomfortable to watch. We don't see Kelly in this scene, but we do hear Jill talk about Kelly and how pissed she is that she's made up with Bethany. So we know Kelly is about to get a little bit of Jill's wrath as well. And then, of course, Kelly joins Alex and Bethany and Ramona to select models for Brooklyn Fashion Week, where she provides, as Bethany says, some astute insight. Then we've got Bethany, and we see Bethany on both ends of an ambush this episode. We start off with her and Ramona and the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, where she tries to tell Ramona about the infamous phone call with Jill, where Jill hung up on her. But she learns that Ramona really doesn't have much sympathy. Although at the end, it's like, or does she? Because she kind of softens up a little bit there. She also shows up for Alex to select models for the Brooklyn Fashion Week show, where she confides in Alex that her father is dying and that she's going to Los Angeles to visit him. And then we get to see her on the other side of the ambush when she shows up at Ramona's in an attempt to talk to Jill. And then lastly, Jill, she hosts Luann for the evening where they sit in bed. I thought such a throwback to she and Bethany at the Hamptons. And they plan Luann's fundraiser and, of course, shit talk Bethany. And Jill reveals that she's really pissed with Kelly for making up with Bethany, which I think says so much about where Jill, where her headspace is at this point in time. She also pays a visit to Alex's townhouse in an attempt to make nice with Alex. and where Alex tries to get Jill to reach out to Bethany, but Jill is not having any of it. And then, of course, Jill gets ambushed by Bethany at Ramona's, where she eventually does sit with Bethany and basically seals the deal on ending the friendship. So with that, there is a ton to break down into this episode. So let's dive into it, because it's time to mention it all. All right, season 3, episode 6, The Ambush. It's so good. It's, again, I've had this happen on many episodes of all of the seasons that we've gone through so far, 1, 2, and 3, where I just can't believe all of this is all jam-packed into one episode. I feel like production really misses the mark these days, because in today's shows, this would have been broken up into several episodes. You would have had the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge as one episode. You would have had the ambush as another episode. But here, because they're so jam-packed with content, right, I also think one of the problems is they're missing content. Because they don't really show us anything about these women's actual lives. They only show us the bullshit fighting between the women at these made-up stories and made-up events for just that purpose. And you'll hear a lot of the women admit that they're just like, okay, what do we have to do to get out of here and stop filming? You need to fight with someone? Okay, let's start it up. Which adds to the inauthentic feeling we're taking away from these shows. But not with The Ambush. It opens straight up on the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge. So we've got Bethany. She's meeting Ramona on the Brooklyn Bridge. They're going to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. Bethany has called Alex and Simon to meet them on the other side, and apparently they're going to have lunch. And we see Bethany. She runs across the street. She almost gets hit by a car. She's on the phone. And she says to Ramona, and I feel like she drops a lot of pregnancy hints. I think she's really excited that she's pregnant, but she's very early on in the pregnancy, so she really can't announce it or say anything. But she's dropping all of these carrots along the way, and she's eating a sandwich, and she says, I've just been starving lately. And again, I think it's one of those little nuggets that she drops for us. And we hear Bethany say in her confessional, Ramona doesn't go to Brooklyn. She doesn't eat in Brooklyn. So she called Alex and Simon to meet them on the other side of the bridge, because this is probably going to be one of the only time that Ramona is ever going to be there. And I also thought this pairing was interesting, of Bethany taking a meeting with Ramona and then also calling up Alex and Simon, because it made me feel like, I bet you at this point, those are the only cast members who will really film with her. Jill, as Bethany says, when they're on the bridge, she has her whole army around her. She's telling Luann, she's telling Kelly. Ramona admits it in the reunion. She said, don't film with Bethany. So it's interesting how things are shifting and that these are the people that will film with Bethany. And so this is who Bethany is calling to invite for a conversation. And the walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, it starts off really nice. It looks like Ramona's being really nice to Bethany and Bethany's being very nice to Ramona. They're all on their best behavior. And Bethany starts to explain to Ramona that she called Jill. And Ramona just launches in. And she says, I think you're a press monger. I think you planted that story, the one that we saw in the last episode. And in Ramona's confessional, she says she sees it all the time that if the papers call, Bethany picks up, she's ready to give a comment, and she loves to talk to the press. And so she really thought that she planted it. And I also thought it was interesting. She used in her confessional, she thought, she used the past tense. And that's because they're going back, you know, when they do these confessionals, it's sometimes months after the event happened. And I think at this point, by the time they're filming the confessional, Ramona is realizing that Jill did it and was really trying to whoop it up around Bethany and turn them all against her. And so Bethany, of course, is very taken aback by this. She's like, Jesus Christ, Ramona, like, give it a break. And Ramona says, you know, Bethany, I just want to help you. And Bethany shoots back with, yeah, I can tell. I really feel all warm and fuzzy from you right now. And Ramona just continues to launch in. She tells Bethany she feels she's very self-serving. And Bethany turns around and says, how ungrateful, you know, who just Twittered to 75,000 people last week about your HSN line? And I thought this is such a great moment for several reasons. First off, Bethany only has 75,000 followers on Twitter, which was a huge amount back then because Twitter was just coming out. But the verb tweet, to tweet something, wasn't even in existence yet. So Bethany had to come up with what she was thinking of. And she said, I Twittered to 75,000 people about your HSN line. I just thought, what a great moment in time, because this is 2009. And if you think about it, I joined Twitter back in 2009. I was one of like the first. And if you go back and look at a lot of the verified checkmarks accounts for Twitter, you'll see a lot of them joined in 2009. It's just really starting to become a thing. And at this point, Bethany has had enough. Ramona has jumped all over her and called her every name this way and that. And she finally just says to Ramona, you know, you're not the most warm and fuzzy person either. And Ramona, she's not done yet, because then she just lays the hammer down on Bethany and says, you know what? But at least I have friends. You have no friends. And right now you only have Jason, and you'll probably screw that up too. And I just thought, first of all, that's so mean. But second of all, Ramona, lover or hater, even though she does tend to pop off at the mouth, she's on to a lot of stuff and she gets a lot of stuff right. She doesn't put it out there correctly. She doesn't take the right approach with people to say it. But she usually is on the right track with a lot of things. And she's spot on with this one, because Bethany burned that relationship with Jason to the ground. And of course, Bethany's totally insulted. You know, she's in her confessional. She says, I'm in love. I'm in a good relationship. I'm trying to make it work. That's just so offensive, which of course it was, even if it's true. And so at this point, you can tell, I think Bethany, she's actually been outrooted, if that's a word, by Ramona, which I think is hard to do with Bethany. And she's just exacerbated. And she says, you know what? Well, I'm not a normal person. I don't have any friends. I don't even know why you're walking with me right now, right? And Ramona says, look, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with you. And Bethany turns to her and says, you just said that you're trying to help me. You're trying to figure out what's going on with me. You have a very antagonistic, rude way of doing this, which, again, that's true. And then Bethany decides it's time to launch. And she says, look, you didn't ask me here to talk, Ramona. I said, I took your advice. I called Jill and you just attacked me. Bethany does say that Jill planted it. It wasn't hers. Ramona doesn't agree. And then Bethany says, you know, it's really negative just the way you're talking. It's like if I said to you, you and Mario are probably going to get divorced. And it's like, holy shit, second foreshadowing of relationship demise in just the Brooklyn Bridge battle alone. Because as we all know, down the line, Mario and Ramona do get divorced. And you can tell this is edited and chopped up because they walk the entire length of the Brooklyn Bridge. So there was probably a lot of conversation, and I'm sure there was a lot for the editors to choose from. I really wish I could see the entire scene uncut. Again, Bravo, release these things. We would watch these they did an unedited show where an unedited clip of some of the best scenes on Bravo. I'm here for it. I'm throwing it out there. You can take the idea. But at this point, you can tell Ramona's a little bit, I think she's coming around to realizing that she did just jump all over Bethany. She says, all right, well, let's just talk neutral things. You know, what do you think about Obama's healthcare? Which I also thought like sign of the times of where we're at. And then there's also this hilarious moment as she says that in the background, there's this guy who's also walking on the Brooklyn Bridge. And if you look carefully, he jumps at to the camera and is like waving to the camera to get on TV. And I love that, because there's no way in a million years that would happen in this day and age of housewives. And I loved it. There was something so authentic about it, that these women really are just walking on the Brooklyn Bridge with a camera following them. I don't know why, but that just made me happy. But as I said, I think in this moment, Ramona is starting to realize that she attacked Bethany, and Bethany is also starting to cry at this point. She's, I think, exacerbated. She's pregnant. She's hormonal. She's tired. And so Ramona does a 180, a typical Ramona. And she says, look, you know what? I made a mistake. You called me here. You wanted to talk about Jill, and we haven't even done that. And I've jumped all over you. So why don't you tell me what happened? And Bethany at this point is like, you know what? I called Jill. She hung up on me. We're not going to meet. We're not going to be friends. I don't want to win. If I win and Jill loses, we all lose. And that's just it. We're not going to be friends. She doesn't want to see me. It's not happening. She tells Ramona she had her on speaker for an audience during that infamous phone call. And this is where she says she has a whole army around her and she won, you know, and Ramona's like, it's not winning and losing. And Bethany's like, yes, that is how she plays the game. That is how Jill operates. And Bethany says to Ramona, for all the bad that I am, I didn't talk to one person about this argument. And I actually believe Bethany in this moment. I really do think it's Jill planting the story and trying to take Bethany down. And I don't think Bethany planted this story. So now Ramona, I think, is starting to realize in this moment, okay, maybe what Jill is saying isn't true. Maybe I've been an asshole to Bethany. And so Ramona feels that somehow she has got to get Bethany and Ramona together. I mean, Bethany and Jill together. They have got to meet. And then Bethany drops another pregnancy hint. She said, you know, all summer long, I had to write a book. I had to start another one. I have a new relationship. And she says, I have a few other personal things going on that I can't discuss right now. And then editing kind of saves her because we get a voiceover from Bethany where she explains that her father is sick. And I think that's probably one of the things that maybe she was alluding to, but I think she's really mentioning the fact that she's pregnant. Because as Bethany will tell you, she didn't really have a relationship with her father. It was a rough emotional thing to go through, but it wasn't what most people go through with the death of a parent. And then we get Ramona's voiceover where she says she just at that moment wanted to get to Brooklyn and she wanted to see Simon and Alex. She never thought she would say that, but boy, did they need a change in tempo. So they have survived the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge at this point. They've kind of made up. I wish they would have shown a little bit more of them making it better, but they get to the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge. Things have very clearly calmed down, and they're walking up to Almandine Bakery in Brooklyn to get coffee. And just at that moment, Simon and Alex walk out, and they have got four coffees, which I think is great. They clearly bought Alex and Simon bought a coffee for Ramona and Bethany, and Ramona is thrilled because it's the right kind. And as Bethany says, seeing Simon in red leather pants at that moment would have been a relief compared to what she went through on that bridge. She calls it hell over the water. I prefer Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge, but take your pick. And so as Bethany and Ramona are talking to Alex and Simon, they say, you know, we had sun, we had rain and a storm because the weather was all over the place. But with the storm, they're talking about their fight. And they tell Alex and Simon, basically, they had a big fight. Ramona says it was a heated discussion, and Bethany says, you know, that's the difference between me and Ramona. She's much more glass half full. I see it as a huge fight. Ramona sees it as a heated discussion. And then the tempo does change. They are at a point in Brooklyn, which is really pretty, where you can basically look over the water and see New York City. They take pictures of Ramona, you know, in Brooklyn because they're never going to see Ramona in Brooklyn again. And we get the iconic comment from Bethany in her confessional that becomes a Roni go-to line. And she says, it's like riding the Ramona coaster. One minute she's a total psycho, and the next minute it's like a photo op and she's happy to be in Brooklyn. And as Bethany says, it was a bad ride on the Ramona coaster. So then she and Bethany and Alex and Simon go to have lunch. We don't see the lunch. And again, I think there's so much probably going on in this episode that we didn't get the lunch and maybe not much happened. But I would have loved to have seen just a little bit of them talking about needing to call Jill, maybe getting Alex and Simon's perspective, seeing how Bethany and Jill recover from the Battle of the Brooklyn Bridge. I would have liked to have seen it, but all we get is a reference to the fact that they're starving and they go eat lunch. So then next up is Kelly. She is walking the streets of Manhattan trying to interview people for an article that she's writing for Gotham Magazine. And it's so freaking awkward. She doesn't even know how to approach people. She's like, again, it's almost like she only knows how to kind of flirt with guys or act like the damsel in distress, because she's walking up to guys going, sorry, can I talk to you for a minute? Oh, and she's super whiny. It's like, oh, good God. And it's hilarious because in the beginning, nobody wants to talk to her. There's people hopping into a cab like, sorry, we're going to lunch. And in her confessional, she explains that she writes for Niche Media, which is a company that produced like luxury magazines. They targeted wealthy readers, most people making over like $200,000 a year. And they owned Gotham Magazine and Hamptons Magazine, LA Confidential on the West Coast. And she explains she's a writer for Gotham Magazine. And so she's writing an article about how people are taking fashion trends to the streets. And we also get, I always say, Kelly says the word really a lot because she doesn't know how to use language effectively and add adjectives correctly. So all she says is, I really, really wanted to get on the street. These people are really, really cool. It's really this. And it's like between her whining and going up to people going, sorry, can I talk to you for a minute? And then just her natural language. Oh, man, it's a bit much to watch. And it's very clear she has no idea how to talk to people. But then she gets into a little bit of a groove. She's got a clipboard where she's clearly written down questions that she's asking people on the street about what they're wearing. And she starts asking these questions. And there's a good edited montage of her asking the questions. She's going up to, it seems like, really attractive guys is really what she's doing. It's like, it looks like 20-something dudes who are probably in college wearing like jeans and a t-shirt. And she's going up to them talking. It's like, they're not fashionable. You're just talking to them because you want to flirt with them. But she's got this whole montage. One of the questions she asks is, are you wearing underwear? Which I think is, I don't know. I think it's lame, but whatever. But there's a montage of her asking a bunch of people. And then she's got these like teenage boys, these young boys that she's talking to. And she's like, are you wearing underwear? Because she's just going through her list. And she's like, wait, I'm not going to ask you that. I thought it was kind of a funny moment. And then we see her shout across the street, Peter, what's up? In her typical annoying way. And she runs over. She has ran into Peter Butler, who is a famous hairdresser. He does all the Sports Illustrated, like swimsuit edition. He has a ton of celebrity clients. He is a famous hairdresser. So, of course, she can't take, you know, she can't wait to interview him. She's got him on the street. She's talking to him, asking him his questions. She loves his style. And then she pulls out a camera because she's clearly taking pictures, I think, of people that she's run into on the streets of. And remember last season, she did the same thing when she was writing that other article where she took pictures and she brought the pictures in. But she just plays this. I don't know if this is a combination of her doing it in front of men because that's how she learns to get attention, by acting like she's an idiot, or if she's also doing it as like a storyline. But she says, this is the first time I've ever taken someone's picture before, which, again, not true. We saw you last season meet with the editor of one of the magazines you're writing for, and you took a bunch of pictures of people on the street. And all she has is a regular camera. It's not like she's got a professional camera that you would see in a photo shoot that has a million buttons and settings. It's just a normal camera. And she's like, how do you zoom in? How do you do this? Oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And she's taking pictures of Peter Butler. And it's like, and seriously, you've never taken a picture of one of your children, because this is just a regular camera you would have around the house. You've never taken a picture of your kids. Like, please, this is so unbelievable. And then we get her confessional, which is part of what makes me think this is an act that she puts on for the show, because she says, I was married to one of the most famous photographers in the world, and I can't even use a camera. Again, another Kelly scene that I could have just done without. Although when I think about it, as much as I don't like watching it, it does set the stage for who Kelly is. So maybe we do need it. Who knows? Then we cut to Luann. She is at a shop called Use Your Head. It's by it's a shop owned by Henry Buell. And he's a well-known and wealthy like ex-banker and art collector in Manhattan. He recently passed away, but he runs this shop, and you basically donate your designer clothes that are resold for the homeless. It supports the homeless. And so Luann's in there. She's meeting with Henry. They talk about wanting to plan a fundraiser to support the cause. And the gal is like, oh, that's great. You can be there. You can be our ambassador of style. And Luann's like, oh, I don't want it to be about me. It's like, yeah, you do. It really sets the scene for why they're over at Ramona's house, she and Jill, for the ambush, because this kind of sets off Luann needing to plan the fundraiser and get clothes from her friends that are designer clothes that they can donate for the cause. And then next we open up at Jill's condo, and Luann is in Jill's guest bedroom. And I think this is a continuation of, we just saw the epic phone call where Jill hangs up on Bethany. Luann is visiting her house. This is either that night or the next night. I don't know how many nights Luann stayed, but this is a continuation of that stay. And Jill hops into bed with Luann. Again, it's just such a throwback to she and Bethany, when she's with Bethany in the Hamptons and she hops into the bed and they're in bed being friends, little girls talking. And I just think Jill's main mistake is she thought she could cut Bethany out and do it in an incredibly rude and horrible way and just start filling in the voids with these other housewives, which just, it's not the case. They talk a little bit about Luann's fundraiser. Of course, she wants Jill to send out a blast to all of her friends. And Jill, it's a bit obnoxious. Jill goes, oh, I got a letter from Saks and it's not good. And it turns out that she got a Diamond credit card, which is, of course, as Jill points out, the highest level of credit cards. And it means she spent too much money and she needs to hide it from Bobby. And I don't know what she's doing with this. I don't know if she's trying to display her wealth. What I really thought that she was trying to do was, if you remember, Ramona makes the comment in her confessional when Jill has her sax party that she was surprised Jill was doing this at sax because she had heard that sax was pissed at Jill because she was returning stuff after she wore it. So in my heart of hearts, I think the whole purpose of this was for Jill to try to make it like, I'm not cheap. I spend a lot of money at sax. Don't listen to what Ramona says. I think it's a damage control moment, which we know Jill loves to do and loves to set up. And her annoying dog Ginger, of course, is with her, and Ginger just stinks to high heaven. There's like this whole scene, which is kind of hilarious. And it's just like, I can't stand Ginger. And she's just, I felt like she's everything that's wrong with Jill because she doesn't discipline her. I feel bad to say I don't like a dog, but I didn't like her. And then we hear, if you remember in the last episode, when clearly Jill finds out that Kelly and Bethany made up at Alex's little rooftop gathering where they were looking for designers for Brooklyn Fashion Week at Cipriani's. Jill finds out about this, gets pissed that Bethany and Kelly made up, and sends that email to Kelly. And I said, I bet you it came from most likely Ramona, because Ramona always says the second that Jill hears she meets with Bethany, Jill is grilling her about and wants all the details. So she admits when she's sitting in that bed with Luann that Ramona told her at that event, Kelly and Bethany had a little bit of a fight, but then made up. And I love the way she puts it, that Ramona just told her, you know, Jill was grilling Ramona for the information. And I think it also shows that Jill and Ramona at this point are talking, and that Jill is in generally talking to all of these women off camera about stuff that is going on. And clearly Jill is trying to plant seeds against Bethany. And Jill is pissed that Kelly made up with Bethany. And then Jill also does this very underhanded thing. She says, oh, I guess they were all at a lunch for Brooklyn Fashion Week. Alex was there. Kelly was there. She says Bethany showed up. You know, she's not sure who was invited. She's trying to imply that like Bethany invited herself and just showed up. It was totally unnecessary and such a low, ridiculous blow. It's like, Jill, you're better than that. So Jill's pissed. They talk shit about Kelly. They talk shit about Bethany. And I really think this is Jill showing her worst side. And in her confessional, she says, you know, Kelly told me she wants nothing to do with Bethany. I don't really get it. If she lies about this, then what else is she lying about? And, you know, for Kelly to just forgive her like this, I don't get it. And I just thought it says so much about Jill. She said that she doesn't want anything to do with Bethany, that they don't get along. And then she made up with Bethany. That's not lying. That's Jill just taking it way off the rails. And then she says that for someone to forgive somebody, she doesn't get it. Again, it's just, Jill, don't show your worst side like this. You're just adding fuel to the fire. So at this point, we know Kelly is about to get served some of Jill's wrath up cold. So next up is Alex. She is meeting Bethany and Ramona and Kelly to pick models. They also invite Luis Duran, who's the kind of closing designer that they chose for Brooklyn Fashion Week. Her friend Derek, the gay in the day or whatever she calls him, who's super obnoxious, he's there too. But Bethany shows up with a suitcase. She's first. Alex is sitting there alone. Bethany arrives. She's pulling a suitcase and she tells Alex she's heading to Los Angeles because her father is dying. And when they talk about it, because Alex, like her or hate her, she is a great listener and she really is a good friend. She's just asking Bethany some basics about it. Bethany can't remember how long it's been since she's seen her father. She starts crying. You can tell she's very upset and doesn't really know how to handle this. And while she's crying, she says she's not sad. And Alex points out, she says, you're telling me you're not sad while you're sitting in front of me crying. And Bethany says, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not sad. I'm conflicted. I don't really know what to do. And Alex is just a great ear for Bethany to bend and a great shoulder for her to cry on. And then again, she drops another nugget. She says, well, maybe you just do better with your own kids. And I thought there's another hint at her pregnancy that she's dropping. And Bethany wipes her tears and she looks at Alex and she says, I'm always talking with you about something. I'm always kind of bearing my soul. And I think that's a nice foreshadowing of the friendship that Bethany and Alex are forming in this moment. And Bethany, of course, then she turns to humor. She says, well, you know, what makes you feel better than looking at hot, beautiful young models? So true. So then Kelly arrives Kelly sits down. Ramona arrives as well. And Kelly says, I feel so badly for the models. And Bethany throws out, yeah, I know, it's so terrible to be young and skinny and beautiful. And Kelly says, no, it's just the opposite. And again, it's like she doesn't know what words mean. No, it's not the opposite, Kelly. They are young and skinny and beautiful. And Kelly goes on to say, well, you know, people just think you're pretty, so you can do this. And they brush you off. And she just is speaking in mass generalizations. It's like she's making no sense. And in Bethany's confessional, we get a, well, you know, if there's anyone who can pull me out of the doldrums, it's Kelly with her astute insight. It's like so good, so funny, classic Bethany. I love that moment. So now everybody's there. Kelly, Bethany, Ramona, Luis Duran, the designer, he arrives. He explains that he wants tall, elegant, swan-like models. And Kelly, somebody says Kelly without boobs. And then Kelly throws in, or the butt. And some, I think it's Ramona, she's like, you don't have a butt. And it's like, give me a break. I can't even. It says so much about the modeling world. Kelly says, or the butt. She's like super tall, super skinny. I mean, please, she does not have a butt. It just, that bugged me and said so much about the modeling world and everything I hate about it. But the models start doing their thing and we get Bethany's great kind of Greek chorus overview where she's explaining that this was like the poor man's America's Next Top Model and she is the last person who should be judging something like this. She says she wouldn't know a model if one fell on her, but one can only hope. So at the very end, right before Bethany is leaving, Ramona says to her, you know, she says, don't snap at me, don't yell at me. I'm just throwing it out there, but Jill is coming over to her condo on Wednesday, and she thinks that she should come. She says, don't answer now, just think about it. And Bethany explains, you know, it's just been hard with Jill. I'm going through my own stuff this summer, and Jill doesn't know any of it, which again, pregnancy hint. But Ramona just says, look, I've got to get them together somehow, and this is the only way I can think of. So Bethany leaves. She's off to LA to visit her dad, and Ramona is off, left to her own devices to try to plan this Bethany-Ramona get-together. So next, we've got one of those quick clips, those commercial clips of Luann. She's meeting with a real estate agent, talking about her new apartment in the city and what she's looking for. And it's not a good edit for Luann. I think she gave it to him, but it's just they go on. Luann's like, well, I want a fireplace. I want lots of light. I don't want a galley kitchen. And she's just going on and on. And it's pretty hilarious. And obviously she said those things, but not a great edit for Luann. But it does set up the fact that she's looking for a new place in the city. So next up, we see Jill heading over to Brooklyn to Alex's townhouse. Alex is downstairs. She's making a picture wall, like a family picture wall. Again, I love it. She's not in hair and makeup preparing for Jill to arrive. In fact, Alex's hair looks really dirty. It looks like she got it done and hasn't washed it for 3 days, which again, just the authenticity of it. She's kind of sweaty and hot downstairs building this picture wall in her hallway and Jill arrives. So they sit up in her newly renovated kitchen. It's beautiful. And they're sitting and talking and Jill is just playing damage control this whole time. Remember, Jill said really mean things about Alex and Simon's kids. She said horrible things about the way Alex looked. She has not been getting a good edit or even how do you edit this out? Those are things that Jill said. So she's not looking so kind and motherly in any of these clips towards Alex. So this is all, in my opinion, Jill running damage control. We know she loves to do it. She's done it for Kelly. She tries to do it for Kelly as well in past episodes. And here Jill is trying to do it for herself. So Jill says, oh, well, the other day when I said you look stressed, and then she tries to cover it up because you look stressed is a rude thing to say to somebody if you're not really sitting in a very stressful situation. It's basically saying you look like shit. So she tries to cover it up and she says, oh, well, you looked amazing on the outside. Your hair looked great. Your outfit looked great. But on the inside, I could tell you were stressed. Like bullshit, Jill. Total bullshit. And Jill says, well, and also you were mad at me. Like, I know you were mad at me, but we're past it. We don't need to talk about it. We're over it, which I hate when Jill does that. It's such a narcissistic tendency to acknowledge that somebody's pissed at you. And then before you ever get to talk it out with them, you just go, oh yeah, but you're over it. We're good. We don't need to mention it. And Alex, she tries to play along. She's like, okay, you know what? We'll move forward. I don't want to be in an awkward place with you, but I feel bad for Alex because it would have been good for her and it would have been the normal thing for Jill to do to actually talk it through with Alex. Alex, once again, does not get to have a conversation with Jill and confront her about all of the rude things that she's done. So in classic Alex being a kind person style, she just says, okay, fine, let's try to get past it. She tells Jill about Brooklyn Fashion Week, and you can tell Alex, I think, is uncomfortable talking with Jill about it because Alex has purposefully left Jill out of it. And then I don't respect this move of Jill either. She tries to play dumb and is like, oh, when did you guys get together for that? About doing the whole model selection and looking for the designers. We just saw a scene with Luann sitting in her bed in her condo where she says, Ramona told me that they all got together and did it, and it's why she's pissed at Kelly. So that's like, oh God, Jill. Like, it just made you realize that Jill is manipulating all of the people on this cast at this moment in time. Alex tells Jill that she and Kelly are going to walk in the fashion show and that she would love, you know, for Jill to be a part of the whole Brooklyn Fashion Week. She'll bring her in. Of course, Jill, because now Jill is being Luann's soldier. She's replaced Bethany with Luann. It's like, oh, well, have you invited Luann? Alex says, actually, no, I haven't. I need to call her. And when she says that they're going to walk in the fashion show, she's like, well, you know, Luann's a model. But she's not a one. I'm a size one, which I thought it's Jill on so many levels, because now she's trying to do this thing where she has basically said that Bethany didn't support her, didn't bring her into things. So now she's overcompensating for that and trying to be the opposite with Luann, right? Like, why aren't you bringing Luann? But it just comes off so annoying. Like, invite Luann, have Luann involved. It's like, that's not what anybody wants either, Jill. And then she's also touting herself. I think she was throwing the possibility that, well, why can't I walk in the show? I'm a size one, right? And then Jill gets down to the crux of it and says, are you inviting Bethany? And Alex says, I am. But before we talk about that, let's talk about this. You know, she says, Bethany's going through a lot these days. And Jill says, well, you know, that's the price you pay when you're building a brand. And it just comes off so cold. And Alex tries to say, you know what? It's actually not business stuff. It's personal. And Jill starts to grill her. What's it about? Can you give me a hint? Blah, 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 blah. And Jill does guess, is it about her dad? And Bethany, and Alex says, yeah, it is about Bethany's dad. And this is even worse. Jill just comes off so bad. She goes, well, you know, she didn't really have a close relationship with her dad. So, I mean, and it just, good God. I mean, Jill, could you not? It's like, are you that unaware of how unsympathetic, rude, and cold you're coming off? It's like, she's so manipulative with everybody on the show. You think that she would realize how to manipulate her own persona. But nope, she's just cold-hearted snake in this moment. And Alex tries her best to tell Jill, you really should reach out to Bethany. If there was ever even a moment in time that you thought you'd want to, this is it. You should give her a call. And Jill just isn't having any of it. She goes on and is basically like, Bethany is all about money. That's it. I don't care. I'm not interested. It's over. And so Alex says, okay, I feel emotionally clean. I wanted to try to get you guys together and I've done it and I've done all I can. And I guess that's going to be the end of it. But then we get Alex's confessional, which I love because I felt like Alex, maybe because it was just a confessional, nobody was there, she felt strong enough to be honest. And she says, you know, Bethany's side of the story is much more believable. She says Bethany's, you know, complaint is that Jill is inserting herself in Bethany's business. And Jill is saying, I did stuff for you. Now you need to do stuff for me. And Alex says that is very Jill. She keeps score. And it just, that is a very believable side of the story. And then at the very end, Jill wants to end the conversation, you can tell. As always, she never gives Alex a chance to actually work through anything. She's like, you know what? I hear the boys, which are Alex's two sons. And they come in and Jill runs over to them and is like, how about a hug and a kiss for me? And oh, my boyfriend, as she's hugging Johan. And I thought, oh God, Jill, this is so contrived and fake. And you're clearly trying to act like you're nice to her kids when really all you do is shit talk their parenting style and her kids' behavior behind her back. And it was so, it was an moment. It was like, ooh, Jill, not good. Very fake. And then I do love the edit. It's just an shady production moment, because they then at the very end of the scene cut to Johan going, I want to run outside, being just the crazy kids that they are, which is just a great way to end that scene. So then we open up on Ramona's condo. The ambush is about to begin. Fasten your seatbelts. And Jill and Luann show up to Ramona's house. They are there to talk about the fundraiser and go through some of Ramona's clothes and get a donation from Ramona for this fundraiser. And so they're going through Ramona's closets. And again, I do think Jill and Luann are acting like mean girls to Ramona. They're like, give up your short skirts. You know, let some young girl in the village buy them. Like, you don't need these short skirts anymore. And I kind of felt like, you know what? Ramona looks absolutely amazing for her age. And she looks great in these short skirts. And as she points out, my legs still are good. And it was just kind of unnecessary, rude, mean girl shit from Jill and Luann. So they do find a beautiful Badgley Mischka dress. They find a couple of things. Luann's thrilled. She's like, this is exactly the kind of stuff we're looking for. And then there's a knock on the door. They're back in Ramona's bedroom. Ramona excuses herself. Jill and Luann stay back there to discuss the clothes. And Ramona opens the door and it's Bethany. Bethany explains that she just came back from LA and her father wouldn't see her. So there's a lot going on for Bethany, right? There's a lot going on. And Bethany looks great. It's funny because I know her jaw blows up towards the end of her pregnancy and she doesn't look so great. But the beginning couple of months of her pregnancy, she looks fantastic. And maybe it's because she put on a couple of extra pounds. I don't know what it is, but she just looks glowing and beautiful. And she looks fantastic. She's got these kind of camel colored boots on with her jeans, a white tank top, a camel colored leather jacket. Her hair and makeup look beautiful. She just looks spot on. So she comes in and Ramona says, try to stay calm. Don't be like a cat. I love Ramona's advice. And as we know, Ramona didn't tell Jill that Luann's stopping by. I mean, that Bethany is stopping by. Luann sees her and gives a gasp like, oh my God. And as Luann says in her confessional, it was like seeing a ghost. And Jill then comes out. She sees Bethany. She's pissed. And she says, I'm not being ambushed. And Luann at this point won't leave them alone. You can tell, and Bethany calls it too, Luann doesn't want to let Jill go because now they're like doing their own thing for the show. And she does not want, very clearly does not want Jill and Bethany to make up. And so they're standing there and Bethany says, look, I'm not here to attack you. I just have a few things to say and then you don't have to be my friend. Let's just sit down for a moment. And in Bethany's confessional, she says, there is no reason why Jill should not be able to sit down and talk with me unless there's something that she's afraid of. And I think that says it all. I think Jill, because it is ridiculous, it's like, Jill, you can't sit down and talk with one of your best friends. Like, give me a break. And I think it's because Jill knows Bethany is a straight shooter. She's not afraid to say it like it is. And Jill doesn't want it to come out on TV that she was being a petty asshole to Bethany. She doesn't. She wants to continue to play the victim and act like, you know, Bethany's the horrible one here. And so Jill is so reluctant in the beginning. She does not want to talk to Bethany. And she's just continually saying, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not into this. I don't want to do this. And Bethany is getting a little emotional and says, look, I'm not here for you to be wrong and me to be right. I just want to sit down. I want to say a couple of things. You can tell there's some cut action that's happening here. Bethany's going on about how she didn't know about Bobby. And this is where it's like, this is what Jill is trying to use as the reason. So Jill launches into the, you knew Bethany, they slit his frickin' throat open. You sent me flowers, you were well aware. And Bethany is way more calm than Jill and just tries to explain that, you know, I sent flowers, I asked how Bobby was doing, and you wouldn't get back to me. Like, how would you expect me to know what was going on? And Jill really does try to act like Bethany has just done a ton of horrible things. Jill says, you know, I've just forgiven you over and over and over again. It's like, all right, here we go. And Bethany clears the record and says, we've both done a lot of things for each other and we've both done a lot of things not for each other. I'm not here to talk about that. You can tell, I think Bethany knows that if Jill feels like she's going to talk the truth about what really happened, Jill's not going to have it. So she's constantly trying to give Jill some confidence that she's not going to talk about that and say, look, I'm not here to talk about that. I just want to sit down. I want to say a couple things and then you don't have to be my friend and you can leave. So finally they sit down. And of course, as they sit down, Jill says, you know, you've done so much. I had to write a list because I can't remember everything, but now I don't have the list with me. And I just thought, again, if you can't remember everything that you think is such a big deal that you are ending a relationship with your best friend and just spitting venom, it's not just ending the relationship. It is the venom that is being spat by Jill. then maybe, Jill, you don't really have that good of a point. So they finally sit down on Ramona's couch and they start to talk, but you can tell Jill just isn't having it. Ramona and Luann's like, can't handle it. And they're kind of listening from the kitchen at first. And then they interrupt with tea and offer if they want to sit down and have tea, which I just felt like, and you can tell Ramona's like, Luann, you and me, let's go to the bedroom and let them talk. And Luann just isn't having it. And it's very obnoxious. And I think it's interesting because who knows what would have happened had actually there been a makeup at this ambush, as Jill likes to call it. And very telling, Jill says, well, you know, now I need to focus on getting Allie into college and my friend Luann, who really needs me, which it just made me think about Ramona saying Jill likes the underdog. And I think that's true. And Bethany tries to say, I do need you. And Erin, Jill says, no, you don't. Luann needs me. You don't need me. And little did Jill know, Bethany really did need her in this moment. And had she just sat down and talked with Bethany and worked through it and made up, things would have been so different for Jill. And then Bethany drops another pregnancy nugget. She says, there's another big thing going on with me that I can't really talk about. And if we ever talk again, maybe we can go there and I can explain it to you. And I thought, again, another pregnancy nugget. And then Bethany, she does kind of start to go in, even though she said, this is not why I'm here. But, you know, Jill kind of opened the door and Bethany walks right through it and says, you know, you pick everything. Nothing is ever good enough for you, which is a very classic narcissist trait. She says, when I sent flowers, I was worried that they weren't going to be big enough. They weren't going to be, you know, the right color. You can't win with you. You always think the worst. You always think that someone is doing something to you, which is also true. You can see it throughout all of it. You know, Kelly making up with Bethany. Oh, now it's like, you know, you're lying to me, right? It's all of this nonsense. And I just think it's great production and editing right here, because Jill's confessional, she's sitting there and she says, you know what? If she hates me so much, why is she here? And then they cut back to Bethany sitting on the couch with Jill. And she says, well, I just don't want it to be that we're complete enemies, because I love you and I care about you. And I would never do anything to hurt you and your family. And I can't even believe you think that. And I thought, what a great production moment where they're basically answering, you know, Jill asks the question in her confessional and boom, Bethany answers it when she's sitting right in front of Jill. And I just loved that moment. I'd love to see more of that in Housewives editing. And Bethany, you know, she's going on. She's crying at this point. She's like, you don't always have to wait for the person to fail. You could have called me. And at this point, Luann jumps in. She's like, all right, Jill, time to go. We've got a car waiting. And as Bethany says in her confessional, thanks, Countess, for the diversion. You know, first a tea party, then the car. Next, it was a puppet show. I get it. You want your best friend back. Go ahead and take her. And Luann really, she ruined this whole moment for Bethany and Jill. And not to say that they would have made up, because Jill wasn't having it at all, but it's a really annoying moment from Luann. So Bethany finally gets up. She gives Jill a card. Bethany's in tears. Jill's just sitting there stone cold faced. And Bethany finally leaves. She says goodbye. She walks out. And I do love this moment, because when Bethany leaves, she doesn't close Ramona's front door completely. You can see the door. If you look in the background, the door cracks open a little bit. And I've always wondered if Bethany sat there for a second and tried to listen in. I don't know. I'd love to know. I wish she would answer that. And then the first thing that Jill says is, am I a cold bitch? I didn't cry. And I just thought, after everything that just happened, the thing that you're most worried about is how you looked on camera because you didn't cry. And I just thought, oh man, Jill, that just says so much about where you're at in life and why the audience reacted to her the way she did. And then Jill, now she's pissed, because she's like, you know, who sent her here? And Luann immediately throws Ramona under the bus and is like, Ramona did. And Jill's like, you sabotaged me. Ramona, you know, this is insane. I couldn't believe you did this. Luann tries to scold her and tell her she's a bad girl. And Ramona's like, I'm not a bad girl. Like, you needed to talk to each other. Maybe this gave you closure. And in Ramona's confessional, she calls out Jill's hypocrisy here and says, you know what? I don't know why Jill's so pissed and acting like I'm this horrible person who ambushed her at my house, because she did the same thing with Kelly and Bethany last year. When she had Kelly over and didn't tell Bethany, Bethany arrives and she's like, hey, Bethany, Kelly's here. And they go and have that sit down at the on Allie's bed, the Bethany, stop, like that whole thing. She did. Jill did the exact same thing. And now she's acting like Ramona, you know, is like a murderer. And so now Jill at this moment, because as she basically didn't, she showed her cards and said all she cared about was how she looked. She didn't cry. Is she a monster? So now Jill, in my opinion, it's a total fake cry. She puts her hands on her face. She's really not crying. And she's like, this is too much for me. And Luann's like hugging her. Okay, let's go. Let's get you out of here, darling. And they finally leave. And we see Ramona basically call it. And she's like, I just don't know what Jill is doing. And I don't know what Jill is doing either, because like I said, had she actually had the balls to sit down and make it up with Bethany, things could have been so different from here on out. But she didn't, and we're going to see it happen in the next episode. And moving forward, Jill does not come off well, and the audience doesn't like it. So with that, that's the end of this episode. But join us next time when we break down Season 3, Episode 7, New Girl, Old Money. That's right, we are going to meet Sonia Morgan. And as always, you can find Deep Fix Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, and most other places you get your podcasts. And please like and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter at Deep Fix Podcast. Until next time, see y'all then. We'll be right back.